Right, so Caroline was on with us yesterday, and we have a little bit of positive news. Councillor Thomas Sean Devine visited Caroline last night and said that he would get in touch with Charles Ward TD to see what he can do. So that's positive, isn't it? It's been elevated to the Dáil level. And a lady's also been in touch and offered a house at a reduced rental rate. So Caroline said to us that that was her, we were her last hope. So maybe there is hope now. So we appreciate the efforts of Thomas Sean Devine and Charles Ward escalating that. Listen, the bottom line is that someone suffering from lung cancer in our county with a husband that can't work, can't be made homeless at the end of November in the mouth of Christmas. She's desperate. She needs to worry about herself and being as healthy as she can be. And at the moment, that's impossible. And as I say, we're also dealing with the lady who's been in touch to offer the house a reduced rental rate. And I'll tell you, if that comes off, whoever has offered that house is a living angel. And I hope if you're listening, you know that as well. Right. Let me see. I'm on the line now with John. Hi, John.
Good morning, Nate.
Now, you were on the roads, that fixed camera in Newtown on the Newton Road. People would be familiar with it at this stage. What happened?
Newton Cunningham. Oh, well, I had to go on to Derry, and I didn't know till Monday morning. I got the summons in, the fine. I got the fine in. €160, and if I didn't pay it with 3 or 4 weeks or something, I'd go up to 240, so I went and paid it yesterday. And I was 8 kilometres over the speed limit in the 100 zone. When you know that road yourself, I'll say, going it now.
Oh, yeah, I do indeed, John, yeah.
I see some kind of yellow box there, Bob. And like, nobody knows about it. And how many people did they not catch that box already? You're only allowed to do 2 kilometres over the 100.
You were eight over.
You know,
how
can you judge the car dead on like that?
So,
you know, like,
John, like, I don't want to be cruel, but you say yourself you were over the limit. What on what basis might you appeal it, if you know what I mean? That, like, I know you're asking that, but how do you believe it to be unfair?
Well, you're not gonna be watching your hand all the time, and that's a big broad road. You know what I mean? Times you will. I wouldn't hardly go over 90 miles an hour at any time, but I was going down to Elton Galvin Hospital because I had to be there at such a time. I can't even know the time as down. I had to be on there in time. They sent me on down to the Elton Galvin because I got an operation done on my head. And I wanted to let the kidney to see because there was a bit of a scab and I'll come on it again. And they said I had to go back to Elton Galvin where I got the operation done.
Right.
With 2 tumours removed.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that until I got to Somerset.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you're going through your health issues, but the question you're asking listeners, do they believe it's fair? Is there any way to appeal it? Sure, listen, we'll put it out there, John. Thank you very much for joining us. Any views in relation to that 08660 25,000? You're so right, Minister, says the listener. You need to really find out why the ED is like that and delayed discharges. This is a priority. And you're right, no need for a surgical hub. Need to look after the patients that are in, as this is not happening in the current situation. There's no calibre in Letterkenny to sort it out. You are right. Need a new management structure to look at what's going on in the hospital. No matter how much money you give the hospital, who's going to put it to good use? I'm not sure the minister sort of said all of that, but I do take your point and I do appreciate it. The hub has no impact on the hospital at all. Skilled nurses in there could do with them in the hospital as skills mix so poor in the hospital. We all know that the hub depleted the hospital of their skilled nurses. Well, we've only got one up and running, so I'm not sure we know that. But look at, that's a different point of view. All are welcome. In fact, I'll invite you to send them in 086 60 25,000. Right. How can we show our strength or our support, sorry, for the need for Letterkenny University Hospital surgical hub before and after the meeting? It's the least we need. I drive my 84-year-old mother 2.5 hours to Sligo for macular degeneration injections monthly. LUH is an hour from us. Now, I'm not sure such services might be provided. How do you provide your support now? Well, I suppose in the first instance, you can email the Health Minister. I'll get her email for you and read it out a little later on. But I suppose if you trust the medical professionals, and why wouldn't you, there may come a time where you're going to be asked to go out into the streets. And maybe that's probably where you can hold the fire and really show your support. A caller says, we can't staff the hospital properly. How would we staff a surgical hub as well? Well, it's all interconnected, you see. And I think there's been good work done over the last wee while to sort of help us understand a little bit better about how a hospital is run. You know, there's an awful lot of locum staff there, which is complicating the process in terms of attracting full-time workers and getting surgeries done. There's a historic underfunding. There's so many things going on. But a surgical hub won't fix that, but it might make it more attractive to attract full-time consultants, which would allow surgeries to go through, which would better ensure the future of the hospital. I hope I've made a little bit of sense there. Paul McLaughlin of Ballacdur Garden Centre is with us. Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
How are you keeping?
Not so bad.
Are you not bringing your guests in so they can sit over there and watch?
My apprentices.
Hi, what? Yeah. Come on in. Come on, that's all right. I'm not going to speak to you. You can come in and see Dad in action. Is it just the one?
Yes,
just the one. Sit over here, look. And just, there's no point standing looking in the window. Yeah. Your apprentices for the summer, you're lumped with. I mean, you have the pleasure of the company for the summer now.
Exactly. Yes, Robin, she's finished second. She's finished.
What's her
second
name?
Robin.
She's Robin, finished. How are you?
I'm good.
Good stuff. You're in with your daddy today. I've just called you in to say hello. What do you think about the work he does? Are you interested in horticulture and all that kind of stuff?
It's not the worst.
It's not the worst. It's growing. It's early doors.
Yeah.
What age are you?
I'm 14.
Well, we've ages to convince you into the family business.
Exactly. That's right. I've been at that since I was about 13 or so.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's about time she started.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, listen, the summer. It's amazing as you get older, the more you soak stuff up then too. Mm-hmm. Like the difference between 13 and 14 and 14 and 15 is massive. It's a funny old weather pattern we're seeing at the moment, isn't it? I mean, they're saying it's humid. I'm not really feeling the humidity.
No, funny. It's there a lot of, especially evenings now, you'd want the heating on the house.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so yeah, like, but so. It's a bit warmer at night. There's a bit of moisture around, and when the sun comes out, it's hot, right?
Yeah.
So what does that mean for growth? The lawns are... I got a bit of grass seed from you. Did I get it from you?
Yeah.
I didn't.
No.
I got the plant pots from you.
Yes, sir.
Got the grass seed somewhere else, sorry. Mm-hmm. But it was doing nothing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom.
Yes. No, the bit of moisture and the bit of warmth, definitely sort of green stuff like the grass, and that's growing away, so it is. Whereas...
She's had enough.
I think so.
Good luck.
The grass seed, grass and stuff like that's growing well, but actually the flowers aren't performing maybe.
Why is
well
that, do you think?
It's just the sunshine. The one, as much as anything else. So it is flowers, to produce copious amounts of flowers, they need a lot of sunshine, a lot of light, and it's just not there at the minute, but hopefully it'll be along.
Yeah, well, there's very little rain forecast for next week.
Yes.
And plenty of sunshine, mm-hmm. So we'll sort of see.
We'll live in hope.
The day before yesterday, actually, it was when I was talking about an NCT, I was coming back from the NCT, and the moon doesn't change size, but when it's closer to the horizon, it seems bigger.
Yes.
Right? So it's an optical illusion, I presume. I still don't really know how it works. But it was almost like the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think last night even more so. This is called, what, the strawberry moon?
A strawberry moon, apparently. It's... Basically, it was Native American culture started, I think, because their wild strawberries came out. You generally, they're ripened around the start of June.
Mm.
And so whenever that was happening, they named the moon after that. But because of the place it is in the sky, the full moon at the start of June always tends to be quite pinkish. So hence probably reminded people of strawberries, if you know what I mean.
So this is separate then to the no, it's not separate actually, because we're being impacted by smoke from American wildfires at the moment, and I think they were saying that sort of enhances the pinkness of it.
Yeah.
So the pink moon's there anyway,
the pink
and
moon
then we have
anyway.
These fires that's what they were on about in the news, right?
Aye. So no, but generally that moon tends to be pinker than normal just because of where it is in the sky.
And there is a bumper year of strawberries at the moment too, apparently. What's happening there?
No, seeding was like the British farmers yesterday put out. I think it's the tunnel grown strawberries, generally most strawberries are grown inside now, but the good weather hit at just the optimum time for the strawberries to produce good strawberries. So long and short of it, they're reckoning the crop's up 20% and the actual berries themselves are coming out 20% bigger than they normally would.
Yeah, so I had two strawberries the other day, Ashley handed them to me, and the first one was like kind of bitter and then the second was so delicious and sweet, and both on exterior looked the exact same.
Yeah.
Just go, I suppose it's nature, right? It's not a... Mm-hmm. There's only a certain amount of control you can have all the over the product, but I was just fascinated that they look the same, but two very different taste experiences.
I think the sweetness, a lot of the times, is sunshine.
Yeah,
actually develops the sweetness. So maybe one was sort of hidden under a leaf for someone to get, if you know what I mean. But no, it is crazy that the consistency mightn't use the same.
And it's not surprising, I suppose, even with likes of coffee, altitude plays a massive difference in the taste of coffee, I'm told. Right, now, Tidy Towns, you've been involved with that for an awful long time, and we want to talk about one particularly dedicated individual.
Yes, just I saw the news there during the week. Charlie Grant, I'm sure a lot of people know him around the town there. Charlie is an absolute, probably stalwart, probably the word of the Tidy Towns in Letterkenny, and is he the council?
He's the Jim McGuinness of God of Tidy Towns.
Pretty much, yes, he is. So what he got? No,
the Roy Keane of Tidy Towns.
But no, I want to just pass on my congratulations to Charlie, because the council have actually awarded him a civic reception,
which is
for the half, just in recognition of his view or of his contribution to the town. But I know he's quite a modest man, so I'd say he's actually he wouldn't have sought it by any means.
But hopefully he can enjoy it as well. I know some people like to operate outside of the spotlight, but hopefully when they do get the recognition, they can enjoy it.
But no, sort of want to pass on my congratulations to Charlie for have two things here. I'd be with the Garden Centre, obviously. Yep. We work closely with him, but actually I'm on the board down there at Eagle College as well.
Okay, cool.
And Charlie actually plays a big role down there in terms of what the students there. But he sort of, through his work, he's encouraging the next generation to come on. So he is, it's very important. So just
and I think too, the likes of Charlie and the many others that work in Tidy Towns groups across the county, and people wake up if you're a late starter, people wake up at driving to work at 8:30 and their local village is clean.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not happening by magic.
No,
right?
Exactly.
In a lot of cases, there's someone out with the picker and the bag out at the crack of dawn and what have you. And a lot of this work goes on really unheralded, doesn't it?
Yes.
And they're fantastic, the crews in the Tidy Towns.
Yes, absolutely. If you're around Letterkenny on a Sunday morning there, you see there are people out everywhere. Mm. There are yellow jackets on them picking away.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Right, now we can talk about summer flowers, can't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Most of the summer flowers.
But we need to look after them.
Yeah, pretty much sort of. Weather like this is very easy to get complacent. Like if you check them every few days and they don't want water.
Have you?
Mm. So are they coming on already?
No, everything's grand, but I'm just being honest. You know, you realise that you haven't really monitored how much rain has fallen and you haven't checked them in two or 3 days. That kind of stuff.
Exactly. Even if you get into the habit of checking them every few days and they don't want nothing, then it's very easy to actually just forget about them for a while.
Yeah,
so it's important not to become complacent. And now's the time, because they're not getting the adequate sunshine that they want to flower up properly, be important to give them wee feed, maybe.
Yeah.
Wee touch of Miracle-Gro at this stage should Brilliant replace stuff. That energy they're not getting from the sun.
What have I got here, by the way?
You've got a wee miniature calla lily. Yeah.
Okay.
So what have you got? Generally, people would know them, probably the big white ones, you know, the peace lilies you'd see in people's gardens.
Yeah.
They're sort of producing more and more colours, if you know what I mean. But for anybody, just as an introduction to garden, like I said, they're very good in the sense that works as a house plant and it works outside.
Okay.
So you keep it in the house, you know, you get sick looking at it, and then stick it in the garden and it'll go on and on.
How big would that get in the garden?
Eventually, there are sort of more miniature ones. You'd be chatting maybe 2 feet.
Okay.
So they would. But nice splash of colour, and they come in a lot of interesting colours, like the one sort of dark purple, we would call it.
Wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking with a wedding, if you wanted to, you remember, we often get questions about people wanting to add a splash of colour.
Yeah.
There seems to be quite a bit of then, if the bridesmaids are in purple, for example, you could have a 5 purple ones surrounding a white one sort of thing. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Right, cool. Mm-hmm. We talk about deadheading, something like that there. I'd be reluctant to go in there and deadhead that.
No, deadhead that, because it's, like I say, deadheading, you're encouraging more flowers, but the sort of, as the flower sort of goes mushy and that, it would fall down inside it.
It's just these flowers seem more integral than, you know, sometimes the ones are on the end. Yeah, okay, beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And are they resilient?
Yeah, they would be resilient, all right. So they would, slugs would be fond of them.
Okay.
Out in the garden, if you know what I mean. But no, they'd be quite resilient. People are more familiar with the bigger white ones.
Yeah.
Which have been sort of a staple for like 100 years.
Do you know what I don't have is indoor plants.
Mm-hmm.
I might get on that. You might be seeing me again soon.
No, indoor plants, they reckon they're not a benefit.
What's the story with this? Who owns it?
That's yours now.
Yay!
There, see, we're getting you started already.
That's all right. I'll do. I don't need to go and see you.
I brought Caroline one as well.
Oh, did you? Right. Lovely stuff. At least mine will survive. You know, you'd need to be bringing her a cactus or something if you want any hope of its survival. You know, I must take a very quick break. We'll do a wee bit more about what we can be doing about in the garden, and then we've got some questions. Do you mind holding?
No, perfect.
All right. So, if you want to ask, Paul a question, you need to get in real quick. 086 60 25,000. And I'm with Paul McLaughlin, not talking gardening, talking about selling cars and buying cars. So we talked about deadheading flowers. It might feel like counterintuitive, but you don't want them falling in or hogging the stem. Deadheading, it revitalizes the plant. You talked about slugs being a threat to the plant that you were so kindly brought in to us. Is it, if we do sort of start getting particularly sort of wet moisture type air and heat, that sounds like it could, you know, boost the growth of bugs and things like that.
Yeah, that very much brings on the way. So slugs, they enjoy that sort of warm, damp weather, if you know what I mean. So it does increase the population because they hatch out in the optimum time, if you know what I mean. Uh-huh. So there are a few steps you can take, sort of. Even putting eggshells around pots, even putting Vaseline or something around pots, anything that they won't cross.
Just makes it a little bit more difficult keeps for them, away. Them.
A lot of people are using sheep's wool now.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether it works quite well or not, okay. But it seems to be a thing.
There you go. And of course, too, you know, we do get warnings about the risk of potato blight. They may well come through, but always you need to keep an eye on that yourself.
Yes, don't be exactly. Too at this stage, if you are spraying or not using blight-resistant varieties, probably every 2 weeks now, you nearly want to be spraying.
Yeah. Growing our own food, Hudson's Nina were there. They recently installed a polytunnel. It's fantastic for the kids. Mm-hmm. And already you walk in and the heat and the humidity, and it just, you can see it's a fantastic area for growth. They've done it at scale. It's not something... they're not necessarily, you can get a polytunnel relatively affordable. There's not much to it, really. Like, it is, they're accessible.
Oh, they are accessible, surely. And round here, because our climate's so changeable and our season's so short for growing stuff, the use of a polytunnel really extends the season. Like, you can be pretty much growing year round, if you know what I mean. And for sort of delicate stuff like tomatoes, that you're.
Well, do you have your tomatoes in a polytunnel? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to be in a polytunnel.
Yes,
really.
Pretty much. If you're very lucky in a south facing porch or something,
yeah,
you might be all right outside.
But that's not many of us.
9 times out of 10 round here.
So you're walking in the morning, you got that noise, that smell, that heat.
Yes,
be nice.
Exactly. I know it's great to you. The best time for a tunnel is actually a day like today where it's actually raining outside. You're sitting and you're working away, happy enough, and it's nice and warm, and you can hear the rain, and it's not bothering you.
Yeah. What about a beer fridge? Would that be appropriate?
We've put up many tunnels for people for many uses, and funny, a lot of them would have actually what I call their. Basically what I got, morning coffee and evening wine.
Well, that's it. Or it's 5 o'clock somewhere or what have you. Now I'm only messing. Right, okay. So we often get calls about, well, you know, what about, what can I plant now? Mm-hmm. So what's really good to be planting now?
Yeah. Food-wise, sort of any of your salads.
Yeah.
They'll fly on this time of year. So you put them in, you'll get a return very quickly. Salads, onions, that sort of stuff. Even... Or what you got, but your cabbages and that.
Pak chow, I see written down here. Sorry? What's that? Pak chow?
Pak chow, yeah. What a lot of people are doing now, especially if they have a tunnel or that, they're not growing the vegetables that you can readily get.
Mm.
But like a lot of people are growing stuff like pak choy.
What is pak chow?
It's a Chinese cabbage.
Okay.
You remember the cabbage family, but it's just sort of a different flavour profile to it.
Is it used in cooking or for coleslaw or what?
Both.
Right, okay. Much.
It's actually quite nice and very easy growing around here.
But as you say, it's not readily, I mean, I'm sure you can get it somewhere, but it feels a little bit more like you've done something.
Exactly. But funny, we would put up tunnels for a lot of people who maybe they're not originally from Ireland. And they're actually missing stuff from home that you can't get in the supermarkets here fresh.
Yeah.
So they're actually, or if they can get it here fresh, it's quite expensive. So they're growing a taste of home, basically.
Yeah, well, that's the side of it. Well, I think more and more we're going to be looking to rely on our own produce, especially when it's doable. Mm-hmm. Right, okay, so fruit trees too. Are fruit trees, would they be looking good now?
Fruit trees should be looking good now. You should see your wee, like say your apple tree or whatever, you should see the wee apples on them. And pretty much now, so now is an important time to actually check them to... See, first of all, check that you haven't too much fruit on it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better now to sacrifice some to get better, bigger, better fruit.
Is there a particular part of the branch you would take the fruit from in that situation?
Pretty much generally out towards the end of it because it'll be hanging down. You could actually risk breaking a branch too many apples or something like that, if you know what I mean.
Outweighs in.
Yeah, pretty much. And the other thing would be keep an eye on the birds. because if it's coming into a sort of hungrier time now, sometimes.
Pears. A pear's harder to grow than apples.
Pears would be slightly harder. They're not harder to grow,
right?
But they're harder to ripen.
Yeah.
We just don't get the sunshine around.
I've seen them, and they look the part, but you it's like biting into a potato.
Yes, pretty much. But there are steps you can take in terms of ripening them off the branch in the home or whatever. If you remember, there's just a bit more work.
But it's a little bit the strawberries earlier on. It's the natural sunlight prolonged that really brings them to where they need to be. And plums are like Marmite to me. Sometimes I love them, and sometimes the thought of it.
Yeah, plums grow very well around here.
It's the dirty big nut in the middle. I don't know what the problem is.
But no, it's I suppose they are a bit what they call it, like that, all right. But
I think bitter ones as well. Picked bitter ones in the past. I think that's probably what.
But no, for jams and even for plum tarts and that sort of thing, they'd be very good. But plum trees give you a huge amount back. You get a huge crop of plum tree if it's growing well. So that's what people would grow them, just for the crop itself.
All right, and just in terms of discouraging birds, what's the...
Yeah, I suppose the most effective way is putting a net over the tree, pretty much, just because they'll stay away from it instinctively.
But it's like we talked last week, a listener's tree had sort of got so large and that wasn't an option any longer.
A lot of people put up CDs, that sort of stuff, but they're sort of limited effect.
Does it matter if it's country, rock, pop...
No.
This doesn't matter.
No, generally. Yeah. Right. The ones you used to come free with the newspaper.
Yes, work quite well. Yes, I remember all of that. And did you ever remember, I know I'm older than you, I was so blooming excited. We had a record player in the house, and there was one of the pop magazines came with it was like a flexible single.
Oh, yes.
I remember that. I can't remember who it was, probably E17 or something, but it was all very exciting. Right, I'm growing beetroot. When are they ready to harvest, and how long does it take for them to grow?
It doesn't take quite long for them to grow. You probably start to finish a couple of months. A lot of people would pick the beetroot when it's still quite small, because it tends to be, as it grows, it tends to get drier a bit. And
okay.
You sort of hollow centres. So generally, whenever they're about the size of a tennis ball. Right, that's perfect to pick them.
Do you eat beetroot?
Yes, I do. Okay. I would pickle my own beetroot times.
There's really nothing you don't eat that you can grow, is there?
No, pretty much. Most of it a go. But no, tea. See if you pickle your own beetroot, actually, and even get sort of homegrown stuff that's pickled, you wouldn't go back to the jar.
Right, it's a different product.
A different world altogether.
All right. Where can I find the old-type wallflower?
Old-type wallflower, a good question. This is a sort of common thing. People are breeding new flowers, like new wallflowers for different colours, more vibrant colours, and the plants tend not to be as strong. So somebody's looking for the old-type. Generally, the old-type like that, it'd be hard to get. Check with your local garden centre if you can. They would have.
Are they being bred out of existence?
Not even bred out
not
of existence.
Not bred, but you know what I mean.
To be honest, like the older ones would have sort of plain pastel-y colours, if you know what I mean.
So it's demand.
Demand, exactly. Yeah, okay. People see a big bright one on the shelf, they're going to pick that up first, if you know what I mean.
I'll have a look at an old one here. Right, okay, yeah.
So, but generally you could take cuttings and stuff off it, or even take up bits that you could actually lift up the thing and divide if somebody wanted to donate you one.
All right, okay. How can I stop my buttercups growing so quickly after I cut my grass?
Yes, major problem. All right, buttercups are so vigorous, they tend to grow twice as fast as the grass, so they become visible very quick, if you know what I mean. Generally, if you're fond of work, dig them out. Because buttercup can actually spread a huge, the creeping buttercups are the spreading.
Why might they not want them? Is it because the lawn looks unkept too quickly?
Yes, pretty much. A lot of, like, you could cut the lawn today and the buttercups will be back up again tomorrow morning. You know what I mean? But
I don't find them offensive at all. So that's different if you have you get some weeds that sprout up and it looks like, you know, I haven't shaved my head correctly. But I don't mind the buttercups as much.
No, you can get selective weed killers too, which, to be honest, I would sort of learn to live with them as much as anything else. But digging out or spraying.
I know where the listener's coming from, though. Last year, my roses didn't bloom to the true potential. This year, I used old horse manure, and they're away crazy. My aunt's old remedies making a comeback, much to my delight.
Yes,
so is absolutely. This a happy coincidence, or has the horse poo worked?
No, the horse poo's definitely worked, I would say. There's generally a lot of gardening information, like the older stuff always worked for people, and people were using what they had.
They weren't reliant on...
Exactly.
They weren't reliant on...
But no, generally someone got, as long as the fertilizer, or as long as the manure is a wee bit aged, if you know what I mean, like aged horse manure, like at least a year.
Yeah.
But not to be putting on too fresh, if you know what I mean. But because something like a rose, you want a huge amount of flowers and you want it to give a lot to you. So you're going to have to put stuff in back.
Yeah. Okay. It's so nutritious, you can imagine.
Yeah.
Does the law about cutting shrubs in small patches of gardens, is it March to 31st of August, or is it more in the country, bigger areas. Thank you. That comes in from Mary. So cutting shrubs?
No, cutting shrubs, as far as I'm aware, is not covered by that. Like if you're doing it within the garden on a small scale.
It's your own space. Yeah.
Exactly. Whereas like roadside hedges, that you're not supposed to cut between the 1st of March.
But they can be cut if there's a safety issue there.
Yes.
By the way, because some people see them cut and they go, well, what's going on there? Well, if you've got an overhanging hedge and there's a risk to people who are visually impaired or whatever, you they could cut them. If there's sight lines issues on a road, they can be cut.
Yeah, they can be cut, all right. Yeah. I suppose they're trying to reduce it as
well. But what happens is that people see them cut and then they go, oh, what's happened there? Yes. But there are circumstances
But no, it doesn't really apply to the garden as such.
Dog pee, on the grass. Another one in here on that. It's a common issue, isn't it?
Yeah. Generally, to repair the patches, if you get like a wheelbarrow and mix a wee bit of sand and compost and grass seed, rake the patch first and then spread it.
Did you say the damaging part of the pee evaporates, or it's you don't have to do anything about that?
No, generally it would, like a couple of showers of rain would neutralise it, if you know what I mean. But suppose the big thing would be encourage the dog to go elsewhere.
Yeah, that's true. Or not have a dog at all. Any advice on how to cut pampas grass? This comes up quite a lot.
It does quite a bit.
You keep sending this in because you're a closet arsonist. Go on.
Yes. No, generally cutting back is notoriously difficult. That's probably why it keeps coming in, if you know what I mean. But no, the traditional way was to burn them, just fill them full of newspaper on a day and light them, and then they'll come up from the ground again. But obviously, just not any time where there's a fire warning or if it's near the oil tank.
Okay, well, listen, brilliant as always having you up, Paul. Thanks so very much for answering all the questions and giving us loads of advice and encouraging people to get out there and enjoy their space. And as I say often, you know, You can a little balcony or something, or a windowsill, or what you know. I mean, you can dedicate a windowsill and have that lovely range of colour and what have you. You know, I don't want people to feel that because we're in the garden that we're being exclusive. Not everyone has that facility, but you can do stuff with your space.
Yeah, but even like yourself, Chad, would sort of introducing a few indoor plants first. Yeah, sort of branch out from there.
Whole childhood, Mom had indoor plants everywhere, and she had weeds in plants as well. She didn't really see weeds.
Yes,
if you know what I mean. Right. Weeds were her. Mm-hmm. Were also plants to her.
Yeah,
In a way, if you know what I mean. That was just the nature of her. Mm-hmm. But they were always those spider plants. Remember them. They were everywhere. That must have been very 80s, was it?
70s, 80s. Yeah. So the geraniums as well. They went out for the summer and come back in. And to be honest, I was never the fondest of the smell of the geraniums. And the Busy Lizzies did.
But
the same.
It's about colour and scent, and you know, I think it's important that I make sure that our kids sort of have the same memories I had. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Things like that. You don't think it matters at the time, and then you get a smell or a sight or a conversation like this, and it hits you like a ton of bricks.
Right. It's brilliant. It's funny in the garden, and the dreams particularly. You get people coming in and saying, oh, I love the smell of them because it reminds me of knowing the house from Mammy or whatever.
Yeah.
Then other people come in and say, I hate them.
But it's all memories.
Yeah,
and senses and feelings. All right, Paul, listen, thanks very much. Thanks to Robin for having a quick chat with us. Enjoy your summer, Robin. Enjoy your next couple of weeks till we see you again, Paul.
Yes, thank you.
All right, back with more after the break. Now, I'm joined in studio by two important guys, Brian Gallagher, Managing Director of the Station House in Letterkenny. Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
It's good to have you with us. How are you keeping?
We're keeping good.
Good
keeping
stuff.
Good, yeah.
Good
thank
stuff.
You.
Paul Burns, Managing Director of the Radisson Blue Hotel in Letterkenny as well. Paul, how are you?
Great, Greg. Good
stuff.
To be here.
Right. I think this is an interesting one and it's timely. And I think it's great that it's being led out by businesses, especially in the areas in you work. I'll start with you, Paul. You've come together with other businesses to relaunch, reinvigorate, renew the Go Visit Letterkenny initiative?
It is a bit to reinvigorate, right, because we've done this before. We did this from 2013 to 2019. All the same businesses came together. Actually, it's all the hotels in town. All the main pubs and all the attractions around the town as well to promote Letterkenny, to get together and promote Letterkenny just as a venue and as a place for short breaks.
A destination.
A destination, yeah. Exactly. So we did that from 2013 to 2019, stopped kind of over COVID. And, you know, after COVID, there was a surge in business for everybody. And recently we were talking to each other and we said, we should get this going again because we're stronger together. We can get a stronger message out together. And that's what we're doing.
But Brian, obviously, you know, there's a great product there. You know, there's fantastic accommodation, be it your likes of your hotels or bed and breakfasts. The restaurants are there. I don't need to mention them. Everyone knows new restaurants have popped up in the last year. If you're into the pub scene, that's there. Live music venues, you know, not every town has this plethora of stuff. But as opposed to you're competing in a market where people are saying, you know, come up the Wild Atlantic Way, Donegal Town's booming at the moment. You know, there are other places. You know, you have to sort of make sure that your place is established as, look, you know, we're the populace of of Donegal. Come here and see what we've got to offer. Yes.
Well, the idea of the group coming together initially was like an amalgamation of them businesses where we, instead of marketing for our own business individually, we come together, we have a bigger pot to advertise to get out to a wider audience. And we're more or less concentrating on the 200-mile radius.
Mm-hmm.
That's where our campaign is going to be more focused on. As we get more people involved, like, we've got off to a great start. Everybody that was involved before is involved this time around. We are looking to grow it eventually. We'll try and get more people on board. But the point being is, if we come together, we have a bigger market and spend. We're not just advertising on our own behalf, we're advertising on the town as a whole, and we get the message out further.
Yeah, and I suppose the more people get involved, the bigger that pot is, the bigger the reach, and, you know, the old rising tide lifts all boats. Someone's going to get up in the morning and buy a coffee or a paper or whatever it might be.
That's it. We have a lot of repeat business. We have people that, I'm just thinking, I was saying to Paul, like, we have a couple in at the minute, and they're in Letterkenny every 2 months or so, they're coming back. But we need to get the message out to a new audience, a bigger audience, that's the plan.
Because there's trends, isn't it? The people
move. The trends, you have to move with the time. Even since the last campaign, we go back 5-6 years, like, things have changed. Yeah. The media has changed, the Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah, so we need to get... Because it is interesting. I mean, like, if you see, you know, Derry, for an example, you know, its stars rise and then there's a dip and a rise and a dip. Carrick on Shannon's the same. Bundoran, you know, Donegal Town's in a boom at the moment. You know, there's a sort of a cyclical nature to it, Paul, isn't there? Yeah. That, you know, it ebbs and flows. It's not necessarily about, it's just reminding people what's there, get your ass back in and have a great weekend.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Greg. You know, what we want to do is just raise the profile of the town, you know, put ourselves on the radar, that if somebody is thinking about a short break, a weekend break, that we come into their mind, you know. And other towns, as you say, other towns are doing this, you know, they're doing this already around near us and far away as well, you know, so they're getting their message out. It's a competitive market. We're all competing for the same people, you know, so it's up to us to make sure we get a strong brand out. And the one thing I would say is, you know, Letterkenny is not a hard sell, and Donegal is not a hard sell. Letterkenny, it's a very popular town with a huge amount of things to offer people. Donegal is such a strong brand everywhere in the country. You know, everyone loves Donegal. So, you know, it's a good message, and it's just about getting it out effectively and getting it widespread.
And there's a built-in buzz because there's a mixture of sort of, you know, businesses and residential. So, would you be of the feeling, Paul, that you're starting from a good base? This is about building on what's there. This is not, right, lads, we need to do something about this. The situation is dire. You're saying, right, you know, things are pretty good, but, you know, let's get the message out there. Let's go from, you know, 70% occupancy to 95%. We can do this. Is that where we're at?
Absolutely. You know, this hasn't come about because of any crisis or anything like that.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. You know, we're looking to build on the success that we already have. You can always improve. And like I said, you know, there's loads of other towns doing this, you know. But we I think we're a lot more successful than sometimes we give ourselves credit for. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have 7 or 8 hotels here in Letterkenny. They're all busy. You know, I can't think of many towns around the country, regional towns, that have that many hotels all busy. And I can honestly say, you know, that I speak to people in the hotel all the time checking out, and they say, God, there's a great buzz about this town. I love it. You know, it's dead where we're from. So, you know, it is building on what we have. But, you know, as Brian said, you see, trends change. And you say, you know, things go up and down, you know, either your method of advertising or marketing or your popularity. You know, it's never going to be constant or consistent. Mm. So it is just, we have a very good person with Mary Crawford in the Right Angle to do that PR work for us. And you know, we have all business people sitting around the table as well, you know, giving direction. So we're hopeful that we will have a good impact, you know, and we'll be...
I love to see the pushback, you know, not that it's a pushback, sorry, but I love to see Letterkenny promoting itself, you know, because like we've sit, I have to sit here and sort of reflect the views of local representatives or the public. And, you know, there are some challenges and it's more daytime challenges in terms of access and roads and stuff like that. I'm not saying that's not the case, but I think it was Leonard Watson was on with me. He pushed back. He says, hold on a second. You know what I mean? Letterkenny is buzzing. The shops are busy. There's great parking. Most of the time you can get into the town. And I was like, fantastic. Well done, Leonard. I'm really pleased that you're sort of pushing back because I try to, but you have to advocate for yourself as well too and say, right, we recognise there are some issues, but look at what we've got that works. And that's what I think you guys are doing. You're just saying, look, at, we've got a fantastic product here. Let's get it out to more people. Brian, I don't want in any way to be negative, right? But obviously we've got the Wild Atlantic Way, which is looping around Letterkenny.
Yes.
A lot of promotion in there. And there will always will be because the powers that be see that as their legacy. They've done a really good thing there. There are efforts to sort of, you know, promote the east of the county. With all its size and all it has to offer, is Letterkenny sometimes a little bit lost, do you think, in tourism promotion? Or do you, are you content with that? And this is just a layer on top of that?
Well, I think the Wild Atlantic Way definitely has worked. It's worked for Donegal. It's worked for the west coast of Ireland. No, I couldn't see a negative in that. No,
no, that's good.
Letterkenny is getting
their... It gets its lift as well.
Getting their lift. But again... We can always have more, and this is the idea of this, to get it out.
I think, Greg, you know, sorry, but Letterkenny, we've always said, is a fantastic base for exploring Donegal, you know. It's at the bottom of the two peninsulas there of Inishowen and Fannad. You know, Glenveagh National Park, you wouldn't believe how many, I saw numbers recently, how many people visit that each year. Tropical World, Lorigibrack Farm, you know, we have that on our doorstep as well. But
and with the weather, then tons of indoor stuff.
Whether we've the indoor stuff, Arena 7, Century Play, these people have invested a lot of money. They want to provide a good facility. They want to get a return on their investment. But it is a great base for investing in Donegal. We've always said that, you know, that for golfing as well, instead of being at maybe the top of one peninsula and having to go from there back to Letterkenny, you have to go through Letterkenny anyway to get to Downings from Ballyliffin. It's a good location.
We believe we're in the heart of Donegal. Like if you take it as a spoke of a wheel, we're at the hub of it.
I think so. I think you're pretty much an hour from
anywhere.
You can be on Arranmore Island in an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah. And as a town, like again, another big point is if you come north of Galway, we have 650 to 700 hotel bedrooms in this town available to guests. There are not many towns north of Galway that can
and,
say
and
that.
I think hotels get a bad rap because often they're grouped in with the national picture, the gouging and all that kind of stuff. I was in your place, Brian, I think it was not so long ago, you know, and I had lunch, right? And I thought, wow, okay, that's really quite affordable. Like, you are, and I'm not picking you over the Radisson, it's just that I just so happened to be there. So you guys are constantly trying to deliver the best value.
One of the main points that we all agree on is that Letterkenny still offers great value. We've always said that we're offering great value compared to other destinations,
especially for when you're in a big population area.
For the quality that's on offer, you know, the value is we have value. There's no doubt about it.
Right. Okay. So, how might people? And we're sort of over that 200 mile radius here from this. How might people sort of start seeing the messaging? What's the process, Paul or Brian, either of the two of you?
I think things have changed nowadays. We used to run ads on UTV. I don't think we'll be doing that this time. It's probably mainly social media based. Facebook, Instagram, the younger generation as well.
Radio was very, very good at
radio. Of course, radio. Well, Highland Radio, everyone who listens to Highland Radio knows about us anyway.
Let me tell you about the radio side of things. And this, I'm actually just saying this by the way. This is more business rather than looking for business. 50% of people that listen to radio in this region only listen to Highland. So if you had a radio spend, right, and you were not spending it on Highland, you're actually not reaching half of the population that listen to radio. Isn't that remarkable? Yeah. That's and I mean, amazing. That's just a quirk of our business, and you have it with your businesses as well. But it's reaching people through the socials. The TikTok's huge because you talked about a new generation of people, right? TikTok, Instagram, all that type of stuff. Show the buzz, show the atmosphere. Show that Letterkenny is also actually, I think, safe. You know, there's, I mean, it's like another issue. Sometimes things are talked about. But if you talk about the tens of thousands of people that are through all the different venues and all everything that goes on, you know, that's great. Okay, so what next then, Brian? It's just so...
well, we sort of have a marketing plan.
This is an all-year-round thing.
It's going to be an all-year-round thing. I suppose where we are conscious of the social media and the visualization of marketing, and we are hoping to get a videographer and and doing a couple
and
of
I can
videos,
see the image, you know. Pick one of your places, pick McGinley's, panning around the crowd and join themselves onto the band. That's what you can come here and
that's
enjoy.
That's sort of one of the main focuses now,
or wherever it might be. Sorry, I'm just picking picking random premises. It could be
and they're all in stuff. they're all involved, you know, so
thank God.
Exactly.
They're all involved.
Imagine if I picked the one that says, I'm not involved in that, I'm doing
you
all
did
right.
Well, you did well, Greg.
Yeah, but you know what I'm on about? Yes, that's the visual stuff. Or the, you know, the beautiful restaurants that we have, you know, so just show people enjoying that. Or the bowling, or the darts, whatever it might be.
Okay. Yes.
Well done. Is it a call out there to any businesses that maybe haven't been caught up in this to sort of say, right, you can be part of something bigger here?
I think so. You know, to date, everyone, like Letterkenny Activity Centre, I didn't mention them, they're involved as well. You know, everyone who is involved at the moment was involved the last time around. You know, and we would like to spread it a bit wider. I think we're thinking about restaurants as well.
Yes.
Maybe they would like to see us up and running, you know, and doing this, and they will, you know.
Mm. So, and the Chamber of Commerce are also behind us. Mm-hmm. The shopping centres. And the Donegal County Council as well have come in.
And do you know, what I think is amazing is that... The way you're approaching it, in that, you know, there's sort of business conflicts that you're putting to one side, right? Yep. So, you know, you have live music in, or you have great restaurants, but also work with others that are standalone restaurants. You know, see, and I think not every town does that. And I think that collaborative approach is really the way forward. And I think it's a testament to you guys.
We're stronger together.
I mean,
together,
the business
stronger
community
together.
That, you know, that you see that everyone benefits.
Yes. Honestly, Greg, it's refreshing sometimes to work with other people, because, you know, we're used to working on our own all the time, and like to get together in a room, and we all have the same issues that we face, and to be working together is everyone.
And if they're not involved too, if you're involved in, you know, the history of the town, the traditional background to it, I'm not sure if they are, but you know what I mean. Yeah. There's an astonishing, vibrant history. Do we have organised walks?
The platform
that
we have
is
there
to
highlight everything that we have within the town.
Because when I visit a place, my attraction comes to learning something about it. You know, it's history. I don't know why that is, but anyway, it is.
Yes.
All right, brilliant stuff. Thanks very much. If there's anything else that I've missed that you think you want to mention, Paul or Brian,
that's brilliant.
I think we've crossed it all,
Greg,
didn't
thank
we?
You.
Listen, best of luck with it. I look forward to seeing it, you know, and as you say, getting the videographer on board, and we've got some amazing young and older people, but some amazing people that can really sell a product. You know,
we don't have to go far to get
All right, well, we look forward to seeing that. Brian Gallagher, Managing Director of the Station House Hotel Letterkenny, and Paul Byrne, who's the Managing Director of the beautiful Radisson Blue Hotel Letterkenny. Both of you, thank you very much indeed. John Wilkie on Facebook: we need to promote Letterkenny more. Walk, trails, historian buildings, walk, maybe the Swilly. We are the best wee town in the Northwest. Well done indeed. And as I say, it's great also to be able to reflect the sort of positive stuff that's happening. But people who know me get me, and I think the two lads there know that sometimes you have to talk about stuff to try and get improvements, and then you have an opportunity then to talk about stuff that we're doing really, really well. Mark English, from Letterkenny, of course, and Finn Valley AC, he did us proud on Monday night, breaking his own record in the 800 metres. I'm wondering if the race he is running in tonight in Oslo will be televised. Great if it is. Thanks. Well, I'm told, and I hope it's the case, that it's on Virgin Media at 7:15 tonight. The Minister for Health is Fine Gael, and I'm sure it's not lost on her that we in Donegal did not vote for Fine Gael in this county. Sligo has a Fine Gael TD plus Fianna Fáil TD, not forgetting independent TD Marion Harkin of Rural TD supporting the government. I'm afraid we haven't a hope, Greg. Well, you see, That's what this is all about. Because if we haven't a hope, let's get everything on the record. Let's get the commitments. Let's make the arguments, and then we'll really know where we're at. And I keep sounding like I'm backing the minister. I want to give her a chance. Let's see. I don't think she will make decisions herself personally based on Fine Gael's performance in Donegal. Look, they had a minister that decided not to run again. They've got obviously vocal councillors on the council, a senator who won't speak to me, another person that won't speak to me for some blooming reason because I ask questions. And it's only two out of the entire population of the Dáil and Shannon. But anyway, what was I going to say to you? I don't think that's in her nature, but we shall see. It would be easier for Sligo patients to travel to Galway than for Donegal patients to travel to either Sligo or Galway due to the size of Donegal and the distances involved. The decision has been made. The civil servants have spoken. Well, this is the whole idea of there's FOIs in, as far as I'm aware too, about the whole decision-making process. That's what we're doing right now in the moment. We're talking about something that's live, you know, not saying, oh, this decision happened 6 months ago, what can we do? It can't be changed. The iron is hot now because the minister has not seen the business plan for Sligo. She has not signed off on it and she has promised to review it. So we have to give her that space to do that and then take it from there. Interesting that the minister just said the decision is hers, yet anyone I've spoken to has said the opposite and she's presenting with the case and signs off on it. What the real decision is made is by the management bosses and she's the one who does, as they say, not the other way round. Well, let's see. Let us see if that is the case. I'm going to bring that one in tomorrow, actually, because it's kind of a longer scam one and maybe more people might be able to input it if I do it at the start of the show rather than just at the very end. I live in Donegal. I'm a returned immigrant from London. I went to the local post office last week. There was a queue out the door of foreign nationals. The clerk was giving them all 180 to 200 quid. They get free accommodation and money. When I was in London, I had to work and pay for everything. I do not get any support here in Ireland financially. How long can this continue in Ireland, they say. Do I have time for another one? I do. One big mistake many hotel owners make is not having an Irish person at the first point of contact at reception. I found in my holiday stays around Ireland that receptionists had difficulty pronouncing my name. This isn't the Irish welcome tourists expect, a small point, but in my opinion, a very important one. If they're competent, I don't mind. I've not experienced this in Donegal because I haven't booked up in hotels in Donegal, but I find as soon as I go up to the hotel reception and say, you know, Greg Hughes, all of a sudden, I instantly feel like I must have not booked in at all. Oh, you know, rummaging around the computer, left the computer, into the computer, switching computers, up and down the... And then eventually go, there's your room. But I always think, have I booked the wrong hotel here? I don't know if that's just my experience, but it seems to be every hotel down the country I've been into. It's just this, like, uncertainty of whether or not I have a room. And it is every single time. Anyway, that's just a... something I've noticed. It might be my ugly face. I don't know. All right, everybody. We're back tomorrow morning for, is it Friday tomorrow? Yeah, we're back for Friday's 9 till noon show with the Friday panel and so much more besides. Please come back and join us. But that's where we leave it for today.